From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with journalist Alejandro Bermudez about his new book, recounting interviews with Argentine Jesuits, the spiritual brethren who personally know Pope Francis. Also, Dan Burke will discuss Marian devotion, miracles, and faith with Bishop Nicholas Bruvet, in whose diocese is the famous Marian Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, executive director of the Register. Glad you could join us today. Our first guest, Alejandro Bermudez, is director of ASI Prensa. This is the largest Catholic news agency in Spanish, as well as the executive director of Catholic News Agency and the Portuguese agency ASI Digital. Alejandro is a frequent contributor to the National Catholic Register. He also hosts several Spanish programs here on EWTN. Alejandro was one of the translators for Cardinal Bergoglio's words in the new book On Heaven and Earth, Pope Francis on Faith, Family, and the Church in the 21st Century. Most recently, he conducted interviews with Argentine Jesuits who personally know Jorge Bergoglio for the new book published by Ignatius Press, Pope Francis, Our Brother, Our Friend. Alejandro, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Alejandro, it's so good to have you back. We had you on when your first book on the translation of On Heaven and Earth was released, and now we have you again. You've been busy telling the world about this man, Jorge Bergoglio. So thanks for being with us.
I'm very happy to be here, Jeanette.
So for this latest book, it was a series of interviews. You interviewed 20 people, 10 Jesuits, and then 10 other lay people, and a priest, I believe, was in there as well. And let's first talk about the Jesuits. Can you briefly describe the variety of ways the Jesuits you spoke to knew Jorge Bergoglio?
Yes. Originally, the idea of the editor was to do a book with interviews only of Jesuit brothers, because the Jesuit province in Argentina is fairly large. But what happened is that then Father Jorge Bergoglio, today's Pope, was a provincial during very difficult times, and in which he applied the what I believe is the right kind of reform to prevent the going down of the Jesuits. Their numbers were going down. Their apostolate was going down. He was not equally liked by all of them, so some of them refused to go on record on an interview, and that's how the idea of Francis, our brother and our friend, basically expanded to include some other people that will know him. Mm-hmm. So those who went on record, as you have seen in the book, Jeanette, are not equally sympathetic to today's Pope Francis. So it's a very honest book. But I think what comes out is that they, all of them, share a tremendous amount of respect, genuine respect, for the multiple human and spiritual qualities of a very remarkable man.
That's very true. It's true. You can read between the lines and see from these interviews that not everyone was necessarily of the same mind as Jorge Bergoglio, but you definitely see that respect, and some of them knew him quite well. They're called in a way disciples of Jorge Bergoglio. They were students of his, or he had directed them in spiritual direction or in formation, and they know him quite well. In fact, one of them, he even called on his birthday this year after becoming Pope. So he had a deep relationship. Can you tell us how they describe, these Jesuits describe Pope Benedict?
The interesting thing, Jeanette, is that since they have different perspectives of then Father Bergoglio, and some of them novice Jorge Bergoglio, You have the perspective of those who were his teachers, you know, very old Jesuits, who saw him, you know, his remarkable potential as a leader, mm-hmm. to those who were his classmates and companions, and those who were under his formation, because he was, after he was a provincial, he brought many new vocations. So the superiors in Rome decided that since he had attracted many new vocations, he should continue as a formator in their formation center. So many of those that he attracted to the Society of Jesus, to the Jesuits, then he would become the responsible for formation and spiritual director of some of them. So one of my favorite the descriptions is from one of his disciples telling him he is a very rare mix of a desert saint, you know, saint of the desert from the, you know, beginnings of Christianity, with a very, very savvy manager. That kind of summarizes Pope Francis' human and spiritual quality.
Yes, a desert saint and a brilliant manager. What a description. You know, also this book brings up several times the topic of liberation theology. Several of the Jesuits mention that as they talk about Archbishop Bergoglio in his time as the Archbishop. And this topic has come up since Pope Francis was elected. Is he a liberation theologian, or what is his opinion on that? Can you tell us what the Jesuits have said about his opinion on liberation theology?
Well, I think they all agree in the fact that he was not your classic Latin American liberation theologian. Some of the Jesuits, as you may have seen, Jeanette, say that with sympathy. Some others with not so much sympathy. But I think the best assessment of that is one of the top experts on liberation theology, which happens to be an Argentinian Jesuit, older than the Holy Father, and who was the Pope's professor. And in one of the lengthiest interviews in the book, he explains very clear two things. Number one, how the whole movement that inspired liberation theology in Latin America was very, very different in Argentina. Marxism never had any significant appeal on the theological reflection. And so that had an impact on Father Bergoglio's formation. And the other aspect is that it was very much centered on the religious experience of the Catholic masses, you know, like the great number of Catholics who are not associated or have any kind of deeper formation or deeper commitment, and that probably don't even go to Mass every Sunday, mm-hmm. but who are in a way very devout through popular devotion. So he developed this tremendous sensibility in trying to make sure that those great number of Catholics that only experience the Church through sacraments and sacramentals, through mercy, basically, the mercy of the Church, can be brought to become more committed, well-catechized, well-evangelized Catholics.
This is Jeanette DiMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Alejandro Bermudez about the book, Pope Francis, Our Brother and Friend. Alejandro, this book not only talks to Jesuits, but it also, you mentioned in the introduction that the description of Pope Francis would be incomplete if you didn't talk to other people who knew him. And so you talked to a politician, to a beggar, to a rabbi, to a priest who worked in the slums with him. Tell us about, of all of those 10 other people you interviewed, is there one person you want to talk about and that just really knew him well and describes him well?
It's a little bit hard to choose because, as I say, they all provide different pieces that completes the mosaic of the complex personality that will help many Americans understand Pope Francis and understand what is behind many of his decisions, and actually find a lot of peace of mind in what is of the true man that is behind of many of those decisions. But one of the interviews that I really found most interesting is with an Italian-Argentinian journalist, Mrs. Ambrogetti. She is she co-wrote a book that is called The Jesuit. It was republished, obviously, when the then Archbishop Cardinal Bergoglio became Pope. And the book is the result of a very candid, long series of interviews. They met probably with another journalist, Sergio Rubin, for about a year. They were, you know, 12, once a month, 12, 2 to 3 hour long interviews about his life, his past. So basically, Mrs. Ambrogetti put together what I believe is the most complete biography of Pope Francis and what, you know, motivates him. I think she provides also a great explanation. She not only provides the facts, but she provides how, for example, Pope Francis cannot be understood without understanding a little bit of the Argentinian culture and how heavily influenced it has been by immigration, Italian and Spanish immigration. And like any other country in Latin America, Argentina is basically a country of European immigrants, 90%. So it is very particular compared to the rest of Latin America. Definitely Argentina is not a country that can be seen through the lenses, say, of Mexico or the usual Latin American, the average Latin American that is known in the United States.
Alejandro, thank you so much. We're out of time, but I'm very, very grateful for this book and for your work on it.
Thank you so much, Ned. God bless you for what you're doing with the Register.
Thank you, Alejandro. When we return, we're going to find out what's happening in Lourdes directly from the Bishop of Lourdes. What a blessing that is. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
John at Bankovic talks about the National Catholic Register.
I recommend the National Catholic Register to all Catholics who want to discover what it means to live their faith in this our day and time. We get the clear, unbiased news of today because the National Catholic Register takes its cue from the mind and the heart of the Church. It really becomes a tool by which we are able to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that life with others. The National Catholic Register seeks to meet people where they are, seeks to meet people where they are in their walk of faith, where they are practically in their lives at the moment.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Well, we're very honored to welcome our next guest, Bishop Nicolas Brevet. He was educated at the Sorbonne and the French College in Rome, during which time he taught for 2 years at the seminary in Jerusalem. He was ordained a priest in 1992, served as an auxiliary bishop of Nanterre, France, and then in February of 2012, he was appointed by Pope Benedict XVI as the bishop of Tarbes and Lourdes, France. Bishop Brevet is known as a lover of tradition and as a disciple of the theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar. Your Excellency, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you very much.
Your Excellency, it's wonderful to have you with us. You're bringing a little bit of Lourdes to EWTN, and it's been very exciting to have you with us. But Lourdes is more than just an assignment for you, I think. You also had an experience there as a young man that affected your life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, that's true. When I was a teenager, I went to Lourdes with my grandparents for 3 or 4 days with my sister, with cousins. We made a pilgrimage, and it strengthened my faith very much, because I realized in Lourdes that all the words came in this shrine, and that we could pray together and to see adults, to see poor and rich, to see such a crowd of people, you know, praying together. It was very good for me, and well, I didn't know at that time that I will become a bishop of Lourdes, but now I realize that God's project is incredible.
Yes, incredible, and it's affected millions of lives. Are there 69 officially recognized miracles from?
Yes, 69, yeah, that's true, that's correct.
And if you could summarize for us, what was the central message of Our Lady given to us through the miracles at Lourdes and the message of Lourdes, what would that be?
Yes, you know, Mary appeared to a poor teenager, Bernadette. She was 14, and she teaches to Bernadette how to be available to God, how to answer to God's call. It's and we can do the same when you go to Lord, you can do the same, to be teached by Mary to meet Lord, the Lord, to recenter you in your faith, and to drink to the spring, which is Christ. Yeah. So I think that's the message of Lord resume in a few words, and people come in Lord to do that, yeah, to recenter in their faith, to meet to meet Christ. Well, that's great.
Yes, it's an amazing thing. Now, there are also grottos that have sprung up all around the world, are there not? Mm. To where pilgrims can in some way spiritually take a part in what happens at Lourdes, like we have the grotto in Hansville.
Yes.
How is it that you can actually go to these shrines locally and become spiritually a part of what happens in Lourdes?
Yes, so I visited two grottos in Manhattan. Okay. And in the Bronx. Well, that's incredible to see that. It's because of the French missionaries, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they were touched by Lourdes, and they wanted in other countries to build some grotto. Well, I think that the experience that we are doing in Lourdes, people can do it in their countries. The grotto is a dark place. And in this dark place, you can find a spring. Mm-hmm. And in the darkness of all life, you can find the spring, which is Christ. You can drink to the fountain. And even if we are a sinner, a big sinner, the mercy of God is greater than our sin. That thing that is the experience that we do in Lourdes, and that everybody can do in their life.
It's a powerful thing that you say, that the mercy of God is greater than our sin.
Yes.
That no matter how deep the darkness, His desire is to redeem us, to bring us to the light, to have us drink of that water of life.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. I'm thinking of the shrines here, the one in Hansville, the Ave Maria Grotto. There's a beautiful one in Belleville, Illinois, the Shrine of Our Lady of the Snows. That's very, very powerful, but always in union with what we see in Lourdes.
Now, Bishop, one thing would be good to help, I think, Americans think about a little bit is, in our culture, we've really lost, I think, in many ways, this interest in pilgrimage. What is the spiritual power? What is different about taking a pilgrimage, whether it be to Lourdes or locally? But, of course, we would encourage anyone to go to Lourdes and experience something very special there. But why should a Catholic go on pilgrimage?
Oh, it is a very ancient tradition in the Catholicism. Because, you know what? Because our life is a pilgrimage. So we stand up and we walk, and step by step we go to the father's house. The even is the father's house. Mm-hmm. And our life is like a big pilgrimage. So sometimes we despair, we stop, and then we stand up and we walk again, and the others help us, and we help the others to go ahead. And our life is like a walk, you know. Mm-hmm. And nothing is definitive. So even if you say, no, I can't go ahead, I can't carry on in my pilgrimage, yes, you can stand up and walk again. I think it's like a parable for our life. And when you make the experience of pilgrimage on this earth, 3 days or 4 days in Lourdes or wherever you want, it's to recenter you, to take a few days to drink at the source, a few days to be close to the Lord, and to understand the sense of your life, and to understand that you are made to walk to Father's house. I think it's the sense of a pilgrimage. We need that. We need to take 3, 4, or 5 days, and with others, if possible, to live this parable of our life. Yes.
It's very powerful, isn't it, to break the patterns?
Yes, to break, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then to set aside that time, as you say, and to drink more deeply, mm-hmm. and to reflect.
Yes.
I think sometimes, I know as a bishop, well, I don't know as a bishop, but I suspect as a bishop, the demands on you are never ending.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more to do than you have time in a mm-hmm. day. But yet, as a bishop, I'm sure you take time to rest and rejuvenate.
Yes, you are right. The bishop is the first who need to go to have a retreat. I like to walk. Myself, I like to walk, and I like the pilgrimages with my diocesan. We have a tradition of pilgrimage in all my dioceses, not only in Lourdes, but in the mountains. There are a lot of pilgrimage, and above all the 15th of August, you know. And so we walk together, and we speak together, and we are together, and we rest together, and we are tired together, and we stand up together, and that's incredible. And for the bishops too, because I have time to speak with the others.
Yeah.
And in a pilgrimage you are poor. You are poor because you don't have your phone, or you don't have your all the possibilities you have in your office, you know, and you thirst, and you are tired, and you feel your poverty.
Yes,
yeah. It's very important to recognize that we are not almighty, but we are. In the hands of God, you know, and we are guided by the Holy Spirit too. So I need as a lot of Christians, we need to take this time to for God to pray together.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and this is one show that I wish could be hours long. And we're talking with a wonderful Bishop of Lourdes and about the beauty of pilgrimage, the power of pilgrimage. Just as we close out the show here today, it's been so quick. There was some terrible flooding this summer.
Yes.
And have you completely recovered from that? Is everything open, or what's the status?
Yes, everything is open, but we have to repair during the winter, because in the pilgrimage season we have no time, and it's too crowded to rebuild what we have to rebuild. So we cleaned everything up, and everything is open. But now, after All Saints, during the winter, we have to repair and to work.
Yeah.
A lot of things to do.
A lot of things to do. And we need to be praying for you. And please keep us in your prayers. And if folks want to learn more about Lourdes, they can go to lourdes-france.org. That's lourdes-france.org. And I'm sure that also you could use financial assistance with the repairs.
Yes.
And we strongly encourage you here from EWTN. We all take a time of retreat every year.
Yes, we do.
And that if Lourdes could be a transformational experience for you, and you really should visit. I sense from the Holy Bishop and the priests that we have here visiting with us that it would be a life transformational experience.
Yes. Thank you. So welcome to everybody in Lourdes, and I will pray for everyone.
Thank you.
Please keep us in your prayers, Bishop Nicholas Brovet. Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Be sure to look for the microphone picture to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.